Lead me on, let me stand. Do you ever want that to really happen in your life? You just want to go to higher grounds. You just want God to take your hand and pick you up and lead you on and move you to a whole new level of Christian living. Have you ever wanted that? I trust that that's true in your life. I trust that's a prayer of your life every day, that you would not be stagnant and satisfied with who and what you are, but you want God to pick you up. And if you can understand that, you can understand where we are today in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. As we come to Matthew chapter 14, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has been training his disciples and developing his disciples. And anybody who has ever been involved in training and developing anything recognizes all in stages and all in steps. The Petersons are here and they all know about raising plants, don't you? Behind my father's house are like 160 acres of greenhouses. And in those greenhouses, they raise plants every spring. And if you go there in February, everything's closed up and everything's controlled and sealed. And as they develop those plants, they start to open those windows and open those doors and let those plants make progress until those plants are ready to go on their own. And that's what you have to do. And the same thing is with the training of people. And Jesus Christ has been training his disciples. And he starts with some very tender plants. And he has to protect them and watch over them and slowly teach them. But he's making his way down their lives and as he's training them. And finally, he's in Matthew chapter 14. As we review what we've already studied in Matthew, understand that the theme is, of course, the kingdom is at hand. And he talked about his credentials. It talked about his instructions in the Sermon on the Mount. It talked about his capabilities. And his disciples then are deciding to follow him and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Talked about his invitation to a whole new level of following. And they decided to do that. And finally, his opposition in chapter 12 and 13, which we studied the last few weeks. But in chapter 14, we moved to a whole new realm. Remember that the theme on that square that we have is that he is trying to get the crowds to be connecting, the connecting to be committed, the committed to be commissioned, so he can send them out to make disciples in Jesus Christ. And so we've come to Matthew chapter 14. Today we're not going to study all of Matthew chapter 14 because there's so much there and much of it we have studied already. But if you look at your Bibles, you can quickly see in the first 12 verses, it's all about the death of John the Baptist, which has already happened. But in the course of Matthew's discourse, he wants to bring them up to speed and he puts it here. And as he puts it here, he does it for a very specific reason. Chronologically, it should have been much earlier in the life of Jesus Christ, but he puts it here in the record of the life of Jesus Christ because he's just finished Matthew chapter 13 and just told them that the kingdom of heaven is all of these things and there would be great, great opposition. And as he's made his disciples consistently growing and growing and growing and growing and strengthening him, now he says in Matthew chapter 14, here's one thing you have to remember. Kingdom ministry may involve death. You want to follow me? Yeah. You really want to follow me? Yeah. He's been making it. He says, now I want you to see. If you follow me, you might die. For the first time, the disciples have seen that a follower of the Messiah dies. It must have been a shock to them. I knew it was going to be bad. I remember you said in Matthew chapter 10, I did not come to bring peace. If you don't hate your father and mother and all those things, I understood that, but death? And so he brings that into the record here in Matthew chapter 14. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to be involved in kingdom ministry, there's going to be suffering and death. Are you ready? And then you have the feeding of the 5,000, something that doesn't seem to fit with the death of John the Baptist, but it fits perfectly in what Matthew is trying to say. If you're involved in kingdom ministry, you're going to have the crowds come flocking to you. And there's going to be demands on your life. Remember, he wanted to get away privately. So he'd gone all the way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to be in a deserted place. And the crowds followed him. If you're involved in kingdom ministry, you better expect death and suffering. You better expect demands that are greater than you think you could possibly handle. 5,000 men, plus all their kids and wives and everything else. And suddenly you got to take care of them and they don't want to leave you and you got to supply for them. And you know what? You can. The 5 loaves and the 2 fishes can be multiplied and they all can be taken care of. Are you ready for kingdom ministry? Are you ready for death? Are you ready for demands? And then we have this great, great passage about walking on the water. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." Phantom, literally. They cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out and said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You want to be involved in kingdom ministry? You better be ready for death. You better be ready for demands. You better be ready for danger. We're going to study that today. Let's pray. Father, it is our heart's desire to cry out to you, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn." Through the storm, through the night, we pray, Father, that today, as we read this passage, we might sense what it would have been like to be a follower of Jesus Christ back then. Those 12 men in a boat reaching out to Jesus Christ because they were in danger. And may we learn some of the principles and some of the lessons that are intended for us. And we'll thank you for that, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you have ever walked on water? Raise your hand. How many want to walk on water? You should have every hand here. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, if I had the opportunity to walk on water, I'd surely do it, wouldn't you? It'd be the greatest experience of my life. No one has ever done it except Christ and Peter, and I'd be number three. How many of you would like to walk on water? I hope you do. You know, all of life is full of those things, you know, things you've never done before. And sometimes we live in our nice little comfort zone, and I like my life the way it is. But I hope we're a kind of people that likes to jump out of our comfort zone, get out of the boat, and walk on water. What does it take to walk on water? You understand that in this passage, which has been studied so many, many different ways, it's helped us to see so many different things. John Ortberg had a great, great book entitled, he's a great writer, by the way, if you can ever get a chance to read his books. He had a book years ago that was entitled, "If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat." You really do. You want to walk on water? You got to get out of the boat. Warren Wiersbe has a great series on walking on water. And I trust that you could probably read that or understand that someday. There are many, many things that are written. But today, as we study this, we trust that God will help us to see if you really want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. We as a church have so many opportunities. How many times do we stay in the boat? How many times are we afraid to jump out of the boat? We've never done that before. It's scary to walk out there. I don't know if I'll make it. It would have to defy all of the laws of nature. The wind and the wave and the gravity are against us. Surely we will never be able to do that. The building renovation team is going to start in a week or two or something like that. We're going to meet. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. I hope that we're a people who do not live in fear, but we are living by faith. And here are some principles as you read through this that you and I must understand if we're ever going to walk on water. You understand that you could look at this as the storms of life. You could understand it as the fears of life. You could look at it as, what does it take to walk on water? You could look on it as the opportunity that Christ used in the lives of the disciples to stretch them, to move them from a disciple at this level, to move them to a disciple at this level, because the day was coming when he would be gone and they would have to make it. They were the plant in the greenhouse, and the windows have to come open, and the colder air has to come in until they get stronger and stronger, until they are able to make it on their own out in the harsh elements of life. As you read the details of this, and we have pictures out now that maybe will help you. The Sea of Galilee, as you know, is a couple miles wide, 5 miles wide, 6 miles wide, 13 miles long. And you understand, if you're out in the middle, that's what it looks like. You wouldn't be on that boat. You'd be on that boat, but they wouldn't have been on the boat. In fact, they found an old boat. The next picture will show you an old boat that probably came from the time of Christ. Can you imagine 12 people in that boat? That's not too big of a boat for 12 people. And you can see the sea there, and you understand from history that it just can be a very, very boisterous thing. The map, which we'll show next, helps us to understand that they had been on the eastern side and on the desert side. He had gone to the desert side. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to be away from the people and the crowds that follow him. So he'd been on that northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, and their towns are on the northwest side. And he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, "Now you get in the boat and go." In fact, he constrained them. He ordered them. He commanded them to get in the boat. And of course, he went up into the mountains to pray. Now, you understand, timing wise, it was probably about dark. The crowds had to be fed. They just had been fed. Night is coming. So maybe it's 8 o'clock, maybe it's 9 o'clock. And later on in the record, you understand that they will be rowing. It's about 4 or 5 miles across. And they've been rowing all night. So it's a third watch, which means it's like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So it's been a long time they've been fighting. The winds are against them. Not only are they contrary, but they are opposing them. So these experienced fishermen are in a little boat, all of them with oars. Got to go 3 miles. How long does it take you to row 3 or 4 miles? Doesn't take you that long. But 6 or 7 hours later, they are still over a mile from shore. But you know what the record says? They're not afraid. I hope you see that. They are not afraid. Now, they will become afraid when they see a ghost, but they're not afraid. They're fishermen. They do this all the time. Now, you often confuse this thing with Matthew chapter 8. Where Jesus was in the boat, remember, with them, and they went on the Sea of Galilee, and the winds became so contrary, they were afraid, and they cried out, "Master, don't you care?" That's a totally different event. As you read that record, you realize there's no fear that you can sense in them. They're alone, in the boat, doing what they do, they're fishermen, they're rowing, 7 hours in, they're still only 3 miles out, got a mile to go. Far as we know, they're not afraid. But then something happens that really will scare them. It'll terrify them. Here are some things that Christ is doing in their life because he's trying to stretch them. He's using the dangers and the storms of life to take them from this level as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ, to this level. And hopefully we can learn something about what it takes to be stretched and become a greater disciple for Jesus Christ. Something that will change our life so that when everything breaks down, we'll be able to handle it. First of all, you notice in verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Stretching can happen when we obey. They're doing what he told them to do. Fear can happen when we obey. Storms can happen when we obey. Difficulties can come when we obey. They are doing what he told them to do. And you understand from the context why he made them get into the boat. Well, it's dark. Yeah, it's time to go home, guys. But it's more than that. You understand that the crowds have been fed and they've been seeing miracles now. And John tells us that they were about to make him king. The Lord Jesus Christ is so impressive to them. And they had been told the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They've been talking about him being the Messiah. John the Baptist had preached that. Oh, they'd been taught all about that. And so suddenly they say, it's time. And the Messiah is to be king. Let's make him king. Let's do it. Let's pull it off. But Jesus knows it's not time. And so Jesus said, I need to get alone. I need to spend time with my Father. I need to go up into that mountain. And if you guys come with me, the crowds will follow me. I got to sneak up into that mountain. I got to spend time with my Father. You guys have to get in the boat. You have to go to the other side. So that the crowds cannot make me king. You understand? The disciples would have been tempted to go along with the crowd. Everything they knew about the Messiah would have said that. I mean, Judas was a treasurer. What's better than to be the treasurer of the king? Peter was going to be the Secretary of State. I mean, he was ready to go do that. And remember later on, just a few days later, they'll be arguing over who's the greatest and who should sit in his right hand. And that's their whole concept, their whole mindset. And Jesus said, you know, you got to get in the boat. You got to go across. And he knew everything that was going to happen tonight. And stretching can happen when we are obeying. You understand, by the way, that storms are often misunderstood by us in life. And we usually go to one of two extremes. Storms and difficulties, some of us take pride in them. It means I'm spiritual. I'm a Job. Watch me. God's really pounding me because he can know that I can handle it. Storms come because I'm obeying God, because I'm righteous, because I'm spiritual. And some people live in that realm. Some people live in the opposite realms. The storms are a form of God's chastening. It means I'm sinning and everything's bad in my life and I can't do anything right and God's really pounding on me. You know, sometimes storms are because we obey God, Job, and these men. Sometimes it's because we disobey God, Jonah, and a bunch of other people. Make sure you read them right and know what's going on. But I want you to know this morning that storms and stretching can come when you obey God, when you do what He tells you to do, when you're making the next step in your spiritual journey and you're making your way down life as He wants you to live it. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you have any storms in your life or any stretching that needs to be done. But sometimes Jesus Christ knows, I got to stretch these boys. I got to get them out of the boat. Well, as you read on, you recognize, verse 23, when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there, and the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking the sea. You see the word fear doesn't come till verse 26. When they saw the ghost, they were afraid. Up until that point, apparently they're not afraid. You know, stretching sometimes happens when we obey. We're living in obedience. God says, that's great. Nobody else got in the boat by you, remember. It was these 12 disciples that He said, we got to move you to a new level. All the crowds that want to be fed, you don't need to go in a boat because you don't need to be stretched because you don't have much anyway. But now something else that we learn about stretching. Stretching can seem to depend completely on ourselves. They're in the boat. They're all rowing. As far as we know, they're not praying. They're not afraid. We can handle this. We're okay. I know how to handle this. I'm a sailor. I'm a man who lives on the sea. Surely I can take care of myself. And as near as we can tell, they are totally content to take care of this problem on their own. They're not looking for the Lord. They're not asking for the Lord. They're not depending on the Lord. But God knows, and Christ knew, that He had to stretch them. By the way, He often stretches us where we are strongest, doesn't He? In your strength. I'm a fisherman. I'm good at sea. God says, okay, we'll stretch you there. We'll see how good you are in the sea. We'll see if you can pull this off. After 7 hours, you aren't making any progress. You're not pulling it off. You're not doing anything. You're not getting any place. How good are you at this? God often has to show us that it does not depend upon us. If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. If we're not the right man on our side, the one of God's own choosing. You and I would never make it on our own. We would never get to the other shore. We would never achieve what God wants us to do if we just take care of it ourselves. And they are not making progress in the record. The whole point of the record is not that they're afraid. The whole point of the record is this. They're taking care of themselves and they are not making any progress. What a lesson for you and for me when we recognize how much we depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand they might have felt alone, but as far as we know, they are not feeling that at all. Stretching can happen when we obey. He takes those who are obeying and He pushes them to an whole lot. By the way, Warren Wiersbe's outline is below that. Under that line, you say, He brought me here. When you're in the midst of a storm, just remember, He brought me here. He put me here. And when you look at that one, it seems to depend completely on us. What you realize here is Jesus is where? He's in the mountain praying. And Mark tells us He is watching them the whole time. Now, anybody who's ever been there and seen where that would have taken place, you understand there's that mountain there. And you can sit on that mountain. You can kind of watch the whole sea. And so you can almost picture it. Jesus is in the mountain. The crowds are trying to make their way back home. They're probably home already because going 3 miles by foot is a lot faster than 6 hours. They've already gotten home, but He's got 12 guys in the boat. It's going to take Him longer to get home by boat than ever. He's up there and He's praying, but He's not just praying for Himself. He's not just talking about His Father. He is praying for His disciples. And when it seems like it all depends upon us, we must recognize it does not. In fact, we have one who is praying for us. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever lives to make the intercession for us. Have you ever felt alone? You ever felt like, I got to do this myself. I got to pull this one off by myself. And all of a sudden you realize, I really don't. Because He is praying for me. Well, you move on in verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled and they said, "It's a phantom." And they cried out with fear. You know, when God is stretching you, it can terrify you. It can. It can scare you to death. It's a whole new level of trust. It's a whole new level of service. It's a whole new level of faith. It's a whole new level of ministry. It scares you to death. And these men, while everybody else is probably home and in bed already, he put them on a boat so that they would see the limitations of their own abilities. And now all of a sudden he comes walking to them. I love Mark's account of it. Mark says that he came walking to them and they're watching. And it says, and he would have passed them by. Can you imagine that you're sitting in a boat and there's this guy walking by you? He wasn't coming to them. He was going to walk right by them. I mean, what a phantom you would have thought that was. What a ghost you would have thought that was. Do you understand? Stretching experiences can terrify us. They can scare us to death. We don't know what's going on. We don't know who it is that's walking by us. We don't know how that could be. You realize that they would have thought it was a phantom because never in history has a man walked on water. Never in history has a man defied the wind and the waves and the gravity and the sinking. Why would they think it was Jesus Christ? How could they think that was it? It had to be a ghost, an immaterial being that had no feet really or no body really. They had to be that. That was the only natural explanation they had. And so they are scared to death. They are terrified what is going on. And in reality, he is just trying to stretch them and see what they will do. You will notice the next thing that happens. And when the disciples saw him, they were afraid. Verse 26. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." So you recognize it can terrify us. But the reality is he who brought us here and he who is praying for us is the one who will come to help us. He saw their need. He is watching and he comes to them. Do you understand? He didn't come to them immediately. Remember doing that with your kids growing up? You know, they desperately were afraid. They were scared. They had to do something. They were scared to death. And you just had to stand there as a parent and watch them. Because you knew they had to be terrified. You knew they had to push through it. You knew they had to learn something from this. And you had to stand there and watch them. I remember the day my daughter had to go order at McDonald's. She was about this high. It was her turn to learn how to go to McDonald's and to order on her own. She went up there. She was scared to death. She was probably 7 years old. And I was watching the whole time. Lynette was watching the whole time. And every part of my body wanted to run up there and help her. Every part of me wanted to go and take away her fear. But every part of me also knew that if I didn't stretch her and train her, she would never be able to go order. She had to learn life. And Christ understood that. He had to watch him. He could not come immediately. He had to let them go for 6 or 7 hours until they finally figured out, I cannot do this on my own. All of my effort is getting me absolutely nowhere. And besides that, he not only waited until they were ready for learning something, you learn as well that he did not come to them in another boat. He just walks on water. Now, why did he do that? Well, they had to learn something very special about him. That which they feared the most was that which was going to help them. That ghost out there, the one they didn't know who it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had come to help them. And we learn this lesson, stretching can happen when we obey, and it can seem to depend completely on us, and it can terrify us. But stretching can test our faith. And when he says, "It is I, be of good cheer," I love Peter. He says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to get out of the boat and come to you." Now, Peter's a very wise man here. There's 12 guys in the boat scared to death. But Peter sees as Christ. Peter sees that Christ can walk on water. And Peter says, "I want to do that. I want to do that." I hope you understand. Some people said he's boastful, he's proud, he's arrogant, whatever. I don't think that at all. Peter wants everything that he can be for God. Why stay in the boat? Why be a normal person? He's very careful, however, you understand that. He just doesn't jump out of the boat. Never jump out of the boat until God tells you to jump out of the boat. Trust me on that one. If it is you, command me. If you tell me to do it, I'll do it. And I'll jump out of my comfort zone. I'll do what I've never seen anybody else do in my whole life. I will do it if you will tell me to do it. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And Peter asks him, please tell me to jump out of the boat. You understand, Peter and the other disciples were tested in many ways. One of the things we learned in our teacher training time was that there are 7 laws of teachers. Some of the teachers from the academy, we went through that the last few weeks. The last law is the law of review. You know, there's no teaching without testing. You can't just tell somebody something and then they can regurgitate it and they got it. You got to test them in that. And so the whole life of the disciples have been that. And almost all of their tests have to do, initially at least, with water, because they're fishermen. And so the first time Peter meets the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in the boat. Peter's in the boat and he's fishing. And Jesus jumps in the boat and says, why don't you throw your net on the other side? And Peter goes, you know, we've been fishing all night. Nevertheless, on a calm sea with Jesus in the boat, if you tell me to throw my net on that side, I'll do it. And he learned something. Jesus knows more about fishing than you do. And then in Matthew chapter 8, test number 2 came. All the disciples are in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. No more calm sea. We're in the middle. It's a scary day. Lord, don't you care for us? Jesus wakes up, calms the water. And they learned something that day. Now they're learning a new lesson. They're getting to graduate level now. Stormy sea, Jesus not in the boat. How are you going to handle it? And Peter says, let me out of the boat. Let me walk on water. It isn't working the way I'm doing it. All this rowing isn't getting us anywhere. You're walking right by us. That's what the Gospel of Mark says. If we would do it your way, we'd be there. Lord, I want it to go your way. I want to be like you. And Peter says, let's do it all. And he passes the graduate level. You see, stretching can test your faith, whether or not you really do trust God and whether you're willing to go up another notch and whether you're really willing to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, something you don't think you can do, something that really hasn't been done much before. But if he tells me to do it, I'll do it. And then you read the last one. And Jesus said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat and he walked on the water. He did. And he wanted to be with Jesus. So he goes to Jesus. Let's go together to shore. The other guys, they can stay in a boat. They can roll till they're tired. But we're going to shore. He's got this one figured out. Let's walk with Jesus. But here's what happened. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I hope you understand he's not reprimanding him there. He's instructing him there. Peter, he's not saying, Peter, you don't have faith. Those 11 in the boat, now those are guys with faith. It's not that at all. He said, Peter, you started well. You jumped out of the boat. You came to me. But what you have to see, Peter, is you really didn't trust me. Here's what you learn in that last passage. Suddenly, stretching can expand for that disciple, his dependence upon the Lord. Suddenly he knew in a way he had never known before. Lord, save me. Jesus said, I'll take care of you. And as you read down through that, he points out his limited faith. You don't need to doubt me, he said, Peter. You really don't need to doubt me on this one. If I tell you to get out of the boat, then you jump out of the boat and I will take care of you. You were walking. Remember that? You got your eyes off of me. And finally, it says this. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And you realize that stretching can expand our dependence upon the Lord because we realize how much we need him. We realize what he can do. We really don't have to doubt it. And we realize a whole new level of who he really is. People who live in little boxes never get out of boats. Play it safe. Don't try anything you've never done before. Don't try anything you can't do. They never see the glory of God. like those who jump out of the boat. They never see how great their God is. They never see what God can do. If we had testimonies here today, I bet you we could have testimonies from a lot of you of times you had to jump out of a boat and do something you were not comfortable with. You didn't think you could possibly pull off, but God, you knew, had directed you to do it. And in that moment, you sensed that God, in a very special way, would see you through, and He did see you through, and you had a whole new dependence and appreciation on your God. You and I have to understand that stretching really can create within us and expand within us our view, our appreciation, and our dependence upon our God, and it can move us to a whole new level. If we want to put it another way, there's one other slide that you can show. It goes something like this. If you want to walk on water, you need to be walking in obedience. Make sure you're doing what He told you to do. You need to overcome your fears. You will be afraid. It will scare you to death. You need to check with God. God, if you want me to do it, I'll still do that. I am scared to death about this. I don't think I can pull it off. It goes against everything that I've ever known about myself and my abilities. But if you tell me to do it, I'll get out of the boat. You have to leave your comfort zone. You have to keep your eyes on the Lord. And you have to realize that if you do that, you can discover a far greater God than you have ever known before. And so really the question is today, you want to get out of the boat? You want to walk on water? What is it that God wants you to do that's outside of your little comfort zone? Something you've never done before. You maybe have never seen anybody pull this off before. For sure you know that you will never be able to do it on your own. But if God tells you to do it, you do it. You see, if you want to walk on water, you do have to get out of the boat. And God, help us to be people that He can expand and grow into greater and greater dependence on Him and greater appreciation for who He is. To see Him do things that we never thought could be done. To see Him pull off through us things that are impossible without Him. God, help us to get out of the boat. And maybe you have something you know God wants you to do, and you're playing it safe. You're playing it safe. You're one of the 11 on the side of the boat, scared to death and watching. You should be Peter. If it is you, Lord, command me to get out of the boat. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful lesson this is. We know that by nature, we love to stay in the boat, even if we're not getting anywhere. Even if all of our efforts are not moving the boat at all. We know that we are much happier to live with status quo and stagnation than we are to take risk. To try the impossible and watch you do great and glorious things. Oh, Father, I pray that we are Peter. Stretch us, move us, and allow us to see your glory. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.